said that in him he was not being what he was chosen to be, and he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing, and also he wasn't getting what he was supposed to be getting. And his conclusion was that it was because of a lack of sufficient Christian growth. I hope I'm right, David. And then last week it was Brother David Wu shared also something related to the growth of a Christian. He said that as a Christian, not merely do we have our sins forgiven, but it is the Lord's intention that we should continue to bear testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord ascended, went back to heaven, he left the responsibility of testimony, his testimony, to brothers and sisters, to Christians. And very often we have not discharged that duty because there is a lack in the growth of Christians as well. And then last week Aidan was sharing in the second service, and he was also talking about the lack of spiritual growth in Christians. So, you know, after listening in a row themes which are related to growth of Christians, somehow it leaves me with a feeling that we are really wretched Christians, you know. Yes, we are saved. We have God's love and grace bestowed upon us, and we have escaped eternal condemnation, and yet somehow there's something within us which is not satisfied in the life that we are living. It's better than the time before we believe in the Lord, but somehow this lack of growth in Christians leaves a bad taste in our mouth, so to speak. We ought to grow and we haven't grown. We ought to grow faster and we have not grown faster. But here in John chapter 10, verse 10, we've read what the Lord told us. You know, he has come not only to give us life, but also to give us abundant life. Give that life to us more abundantly. Now, in the Greek original, this word more abundantly, the word more is not there, it's just to give it abundantly. And there's a, if you look at the NIV, I think it's live it to the full. I have come to give you life that you can have it to the full. In other words, there's another translation that says that life can be lived out in all its fullness. And I read some of these modern translations yesterday. I usually don't like reading these modern translations, but there's one of them which paraphrases, and I quote her. He said that Jesus actually said, I have come not to preserve a life already possessed. You see, because when we accept the Lord Jesus, it's a life we have possessed. We have been given and we got it. I have come not to preserve a life already possessed, although that is part of it, but to impart a life which is before unknown, and to communicate it in a rich and unfailing liveliness. The Lord has given us a life which before our salvation, before our acceptance of the Lord, is something that we do not know. That life, to an unbeliever, they do not know it. But now we have that life and we have possessed that life. He says that Jesus has come to communicate that life to us in a rich and unfailing liveliness. That is what abundance means. In other words, the Lord wants us to have a life, and he has given it to us, But he wants something more. His intention is to give us a life that can be lived out to its full effect. And we need to come back and ask our question, do we live that kind of abundant life today? I think it's a feeling that many of us, if we ask ourselves honestly, that no, we don't. Somehow, we don't seem to have that abundant life. Yes, we have the life of the Lord Jesus, but we don't have that life abundant. He has determined to give it to us so that this life which we today have in Christ can be lived out in our everyday experience to its fullest degree, that we can enjoy it and people can see it. That's what the Lord intended for us. And yet, I think we have all, at least most of us, as myself, have come short of what the Lord wanted us to have. He has purposed and He has promised that to us. And so we know for sure that it is something that we can experience in our lives. So this morning I want to concentrate on two points about this abundant life. So first of all, what is the nature of this life abundant or abundant life? What is the nature of it? And then, in a more practical way, to see how we can experience this abundant life in our everyday living. Because that is the important part, isn't it? We can know in our heads what abundant life is. We can talk a lot about it, maybe a lot of doctrine, theology, but the important part is how can we experience this full abundance in our daily lives. So the first point is, what is the nature of this abundant life? I think the Lord here distinguishes two things, a life and an abundant life. Two things are different. Life and abundant life are two different things. All of us have life. I don't mean this physical life of us. We mean we have the life of Christ. We have this spiritual life. Before we accepted the Lord, we were dead in trespasses. We have no communication with God. But today, at the time when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have this new spiritual life. So Jesus said, I've come to give them life, and we have got it. All of us who are Christians, we have that life. But abundant life is a different thing. We have assurance of that eternal life. That was what the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus was about, isn't it? And Jesus said many times in the Gospels that, for example, in John, he says that he who hears my word and believes that I am whom God sent has eternal life. And again he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life. So that is, we can put that aside. We know that, and we know we have that. This is a heavenly life. This is not a life which a non-Christian would understand or know. And that life nobody can take away. So all of us are on the same level. We have the same starting point. But on the other hand, you know, if we read the New Testament, especially the writings of Paul and John, we see how they are sort of moving on. Sometimes we think this is so, what they say is on a much higher level than we understand and we walk in, isn't it? If you look at the writings of Peter, of John, and of Paul, we saw that it seems that they are these apostles, they are really on a higher level than we are. We seem to be trying to climb up to their level, and it's so difficult. You know, the way Paul puts this in his letters, we can quote quite a lot of it. For example, in Philippians, he said that, well, for me, For to me, to live is Christ. Wow, that's something very, very high, isn't it? For me, to live is Christ. And he also said, I've count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Writings like that, sayings like that, sort of really catch our breath sometimes, you know. Yeah, I know I'm a Christian, I have the life of Christ in it, but how can I live in a way like Paul says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And then he said in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life which I now live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. You know, these are things we read and we know, maybe we memorize, but we seem to be sort of reading something which is far higher above us. And then we know there must be something else in that Christian life which the apostles have experienced, which the Paul or Peter or John, which they have come to know and live day by day. And then there are many other more familiar passages exhorting Christians to move on, to endeavor to move on to another plane. Strogi wrote this book called Life on Another Plane. It seems to us that, you know, we are not to be satisfied with the life which we have. We are not to stop at the stage that, oh, all right, I have assurance of the eternal life and I'm going to heaven. Something in those writings, in the teachings of the apostles, that tell us to move on. The author of Hebrews says, well, let us go on to perfection. Yes, we have already entered, but let us go on to perfection. And again, Paul says, being confident of the very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there's some building there that goes on that will not be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul, writing about the church in Ephesians, he said, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's something we read and we try to understand, but it seems to us very often there's something that, yes, it is a goal, but we never seem to reach it. And Paul says, having these promises, the promise which God gave us, including this abundant life which Christ promised us, he said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we have all these scriptures in the Bible to tell us that we are not to stop at the stage of being saved, because the God, Jesus Christ himself, has promised us that we are able to live a life beyond the bare stage of being saved. And all the above verses illustrate just one fact, that a Christian may have a new life, and yet there's always that possibility that we are not able to live that life out in all its fullness. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ says here, that abundant life. Yes, all Christians have life, but the chances are that not all Christians will be able to live out in all its fullness. We have assurance of the spiritual union with the Lord himself, but yet in some way, as a Christian, we are a stranger to this communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't feel that close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not unusual for us. Maybe then you are convicting yourself and say, well, I am a failure. No. You can take examples from the Old Testament, like a person like David. He is a person of God's heart. God says that himself. And we know that in his life, we see how he loved the Lord and how he yearned for things belonging to God. And yet, he sinned. In a moment of weakness, he really sinned. And so, you can see that he, even a person like David, can go into a situation where God's life in him failed, and he lost that life abundant which God has purposed for human beings. Solomon is the same thing. We know how Solomon, how clever he was, and all the things that he did, and yet in his old age he failed miserably by indulging himself in lust and all that thing. And in the end, of course, he came back to God and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and so on. But we see that even in people whom God has praised as really some kind of a model, we see that failure in them. And so it is not unusual for us, you know, that we know intellectually what it is, but in practical ways we do not live out that life to the full. Paul in the New Testament said the same thing to the Galatians. If you read chapter 3 of Galatians, he praised the Galatians, and then in chapter 3 of Galatians he said, O wretched Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? These Galatians, in a way, they embrace salvation, and then many of them immediately fail by saying that, well, the law is important, we have to observe the Old Testament laws and so on. And Paul admonished them and said, how foolish you are, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? We see that position then. There's an abundant life waiting for us, available for us, which the Lord has promised, and yet as Christians we somehow fail to make that connection. Having begun in the spirit, we try to make it perfect by the flesh. That is what Paul said about the Galatians, and that is what our condition is today as well. We are making the same mistake as the Galatians have done. We know we have been saved, and then we try on our own effort, try to make that life work out in ourselves. But that is not the way. A full, abundant life can only be achieved by the Lord living in us and our submitting to him. It is that faith and that trust and that obedience which will allow us to express that life in all its fullness. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our trust and obedience that this abundant life will show up. So we see the nature of this life. It is quite aside from the life which God has given to us. That is only the basic step. That same life can go on to flower and to fruition. And that is living a life to its fullness. We have eternal life But not all of us have entered into the experience of that abundant life. And so we know this nature, this abundant life is something which is available for us. Jesus has promised it to us, He's purposed it to us, because He said it Himself, "I have come to give you life, and life to be lived out in its fullness. Not just to, God did not save us just to save us and then leave us in one corner and wait for His return. No. There's a Chinese hymn, I think I mentioned, many of us know, in a Chinese, it's written in Chinese originally, I think, and he said that, well, this person who is saved are just waiting there, waiting for a sedan to come and carry him into heaven. That is his goal, that is his satisfaction. But the Lord tells us, no, we have something even better to wait for us. It is a life, the life which Christ has given to us is a life which can be really lived out day by day in a full and satisfying way. So that comes to our second question this morning. How can we experience and live out to the full that life which Christ has given to us? Well, we have already come to the conclusion that not all Christians have entered into that experience of abundant life. I think it's just like a person who, you know, that's how, let me illustrate it, alright? Suppose there's a sick person who is in bed, he cannot get up. He's not dead yet, he still has life in him. He can still eat, maybe, he can still talk, he can still listen. Yes, he has life, but that life is a very feeble and weak life. There's nothing much he could do. He lies in his bed. And that is all he has. He still has life, but it is a life, it is a very basic thing that he still breathes and he still understands his surroundings and so on. But he has a very, very weak life. He is helplessly dependent on others. He cannot feed himself. Somebody has to feed him. But although he has life, he has very little power in him. So one day when he recovers from his illness, he gets up from bed again. He walks about, he goes back to work, he resumes his normal activities. Then we see that he still has that life, but this life is much stronger and more meaningful to this person. See, when the Lord gives us life, He doesn't mean us to have a life like this sick person. Life there is, but a weak, ineffectual life. He wants us to have a life like a strong, normal person, able to do his normal activities. The Lord will restore us, He will strengthen us, He will strengthen our faith, He will heighten our hope, our enjoyment. Sometimes, you know, we are like someone joining a membership of our organization. That organization provides all kinds of facilities for that person, for the member's enjoyment. Alright, this person joins that organization, but he never goes to that place to enjoy what is available for him. That is how we are today. Now, the Lord has a lot of things for us to enjoy and to work out, to live out. But we are just like, you know, we are in that group, but we seldom have take the opportunity to enjoy that full and abundant life. And we sadly acknowledge that Christians in general have been content. You know, most of us are content with an experience which is far removed from what God wants us to be. We have that bare, basic experience, but we don't have that experience which God wants us to have. What we have done, I think, in fact, is that we have just intellectually apprehended instead of treating it as something which is a power in our lives. You see, life brings power. Very often, the Christian life which we are living in today does not have that power. Like the sick man, I said, he lies in his bed, he does not have that power. Only when he recovers, he will have been able to use that power, and by using that power, he works, he goes through his activities, he enjoys his life. And today, unless we have that, we are not living out that life. Somebody said, he said, well, when the Lord died, he did a work for us. When the Lord died on the cross, he did something for us. The emphasis is on for. He did something for us, because our salvation is not something we earned. It's all by grace. We have nothing to do with it. So by dying, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing a work for us. But now, when he rose again and he lives, he is doing a work in us. See that difference? When he died, in salvation, the Lord is doing something for us. And now, when he is ascended and he is risen, he is sitting at the right hand side of God, he is doing a work in each and every one of his children. And that is the intention and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he means by, I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. You see, in us, the Lord is working in each and every one of us, that we may grow spiritually, know him more and more, and so that we are being molded gradually into his likeness. The scripture says that one day, you know, when we come face to face with him, we will be like him. And that is God's intention for us in our lives, to become more and more like him. And through this process, we enjoy that life which is in us. We can live it out in a very rich and abundant way. Some people call this process sanctification. We're not going into that today, but you can see that when God picked us up and saved us, he did not stop at salvation. He did not stop from taking us, from forgiving our sins and taking us out of eternal condemnation. He went on, and in a process, he is empowering us to live out that life, the full force of that life which is in us. This is not only the will of Jesus Christ, it is what he has come, and what even before the foundation of the world, he and his Father has planned for us, that all saved Christians would be able to live a life which is abundant. So on our part, we need to have that will too. No doubt God has purposed us to enjoy this abundant life, but we need to have that willpower to take it up, to make use of it. And we need, in order to have that willpower and to work it out, we also need the power of it as well. I'm sure that many of us here today have that will. I'm sure, including myself, in our own mind, we want that abundant life. We want to live a life which is to the full. But the thing that we seem to lack is that power. And that very often becomes a struggle within ourselves today. As a Christian, you know, I know God has a lot reserved for us. And I know I want to get it. I know it's good for me. I know that, you know, if I can attain a life described by Paul and John, then I will be the happiest person on earth. But somehow we lack that power. And that power is a power which is necessary. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. That is the source of our power. In order to live out this abundant life, we need not only the will, but also the power. And that power is not our power. The power is that power of the Holy Spirit, which today lives in us. Because if the Lord calls us to live a Christian life to the full, He has also made it possible for us through the workings of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go back to John chapter 14, 15, 16, we see the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to not only teach us the truth, but also to empower us that we may truly take advantage and enjoy what God has preserved for us. And that includes a life which is abundant, not a bare, stripped down life. Because if that is so, then we'll be very sad Christians indeed. And it's only when we dare to believe that and draw upon the resources which the Holy Spirit can give us that we can experience that life to the full. I think I will just briefly mention two very important things out of many other things that we ought to seek in order that we may experience a full life. We have thought, we know what this abundant life covers, how big the ambit of this abundant life. We know that we need and we can experience it in life. And how can we, you know, seek it out? How can we really experience it in our lives? And I think there are two things which are most important. There are others, of course, but I think these are the very basic ones. The first one is that in order to live out that abundant life, we need to seek the fellowship of God. That is very, very important. Seek an intimate relationship and fellowship with God. You know, in this world, we have friends and we have what we call acquaintances, right? Acquaintances are people we know casually. When we see him, we say hello, but we don't really know him. We don't know about his temper. We don't know too much about what his character is, what he likes and what he dislikes. But with a friend, it is different. We are more close to him, and we can have fellowship with him. We seek fellowship with our friends. We don't seek fellowship with acquaintances. Because we're friends and family members, we know his temper, we know his likes, we know his dislikes, we know what he, as a person, what he is. And the reason for that is that because we know him well. So in the same way, in order that our life with God and our life in Christ can really work out in real life, we need to have a very close and intimate fellowship with the person who is going to give that life to us. In other words, we need to seek a very intimate fellowship with God. The more intimate we are with Him, the more close we are with Him, the more we'll find that we can live out that life which He has reserved for us. It's only when there is this more intimate relationship with God, a more close fellowship with God, that we can discover the riches which is embraced in this life. Sometimes we don't know the riches which is contained in this life. But if you know God well, we always try to seek close and intimate fellowship with the Lord Himself. Then we'll know Him more, and then we'll discover how rich that life is. You know, sometimes you know we know friends for a long, long time, right? 10 years, 20 years, maybe from your childhood friend. It's only after many years that we suddenly one day discover, he's got this particular thing which I have not discovered, even if I have known him for such a long time. You see, sometimes this is the way with our in our relationship with God too. Well, we may know God, we know all about Him, we may have some experience in our life with His workings and His love and so on. But it's only when we continually seek fellowship with God that we will truly discover, and will discover more and more. Sometimes in things that surprise us, what He has in store for us. The psalmist in Psalm 24 say, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness." Everything in this world, even in this physical realm, belongs to God. And even that today, with all the science and technology that we are discovering everyday new things about this world. How much more if we seek close fellowship with God, that we will be able to discover more about the treasures and the riches of this God, which He is willing to share and to give us. And it's only by this attitude, by this seeking, will we be able to expand our spiritual horizon. You know, we read the Bible every day, we study, have Bible studies and so on. Sometimes that just stays in the knowledge level, intellectual level. But if we really have a close fellowship with Him, if He is so close to us, that if He is the topmost thing that occupies our mind in all the things that we do, we will begin to discover the wonders and the riches of God's life in us. And it expands our horizon continuously, and begin to experience that God-given life much more abundantly than we seem to be doing today. So this is the first thing. If we are to enjoy and to make that abundant life a reality, we need to have a full and frank and intimate fellowship continually with Christ. Not in the morning when we have a quiet time, we say, all right, we are in fellowship with God. No. It is a continuous thing in our life, that everything that we do, the smallest thing that we do, even when we eat, even when we do the smallest things, you know, when riding a bus, we can and we should keep close fellowship with Him. That is the first thing I think we need to do. Close and intimate fellowship with God. Then we will discover the riches of this life. Secondly, I think as I mentioned early on, it has something to do with the Holy Spirit. We have to exercise the power of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit today has been given to us, and it dwells in each and every one of us. And very often our trouble is that although we have that power in us, we do not exercise that. We do not allow the Holy Spirit to control us and become the motivation in our life. Because it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our trust and obedience that we can experience this life abundant. God has given us great spiritual capacities. But that power in us very often is laying idle in us, not being exercised. Why? I have in my garage a lot of gadgets which I bought from now and then. Some I've used once, I've never used, but they're still in the garage. Why? A lack of purpose. I never had a chance to use it. I bought a saw. Of course, when I bought it, I said, well, I need it because I'm going to cut something. So I bought it, took it home. But I never had a purpose to cut wood. So it stayed there, brand new. The other day, someone came to repair a leak in our house, and he said, well, the thing to do is to clock it, to put some of these adhesives there. That adhesive, you have a gun, right? And he said, I have the adhesive, I don't have the gun. I have the glue, I don't have the gun, so I can't do it today. Then suddenly I thought, many years ago I bought a gun, you know. And I also bought a tube of that, but that tube of glue has been thrown away because it's not used and it's grown hard, you see. And I still had a gun there. So suddenly I said, oh, maybe I have it. And I went down to the garage and tried to look for it. And I took it out, no difficulty finding it, but it was brand new. Why? I have it, but I never use it. Why did I not use it? Because there's no purpose. There's a lack of purpose. Today, the same thing in our life. The Holy Spirit is in us, but we never exercise, take advantage of it. The power of the Holy Spirit. Because there is a lack of purpose, or there's a lack of the intensity of purpose. Let us ask a question. When is a person most active, most alive? Sometimes we talk to a friend or somebody about a subject, he's not interested, you know. But if we know that he is he likes airplanes. Wow, when we talk about airplanes, his eyes opens wide, you know, and he's all immersed and intense and wants to talk to you about it. Because you have touched something that interested him, and he has that purpose, that intensity of the purpose. And sometimes when you talk about, building model airplanes again, all right? When you talk to somebody who likes building model airplanes, well, he's so interested because he likes it and he has a resolution to have something carried out. Today, we don't exercise the power of the Holy Spirit because we lack that intensity of purpose. We're just drifting along every day in our lives. We are not taking advantage of that power of the Holy Spirit, which is in us. It is the same in physical conditions, it is the same in spiritual matters. When you are really interested and that your attention will be focused on it, and you will not want to stop until you have achieved that purpose. Today, as I said, because we don't have a focus of our intention to appropriate that abundant life, therefore the Holy Spirit lies idle in us. But the Lord today has given us a reason to stimulate the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, he said, "For the love of Christ constrains us." You see, if we see the love of Christ in us, then we see there's that purpose there, that if I see how much the Lord loves us, it encourages me to do something. And that is what Paul meant, "For the love of Christ constrains us." He has given us a motive today, a motive and a stimulus that we cannot resist. The love of Christ. His love in us is so intense that it stimulates us to do something. And it is only that that we can regain and rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he loves me so much, I want to do something. And the power of the Holy Spirit will start to work in us, and it will give us that intensity to take what he has reserved for us. Yes, the life is there, the abundance is there. What we need is the motivation. The motivation today is the love of Christ. A person who is full of life, when he's worked up in excitement and fire with passion, will certainly go along and experience that life which Christ has given to us. And furthermore, you know, it is the teaching that our life is here to glorify God. If that is the purpose, even more then, that love of Christ will constrain us to go ahead and not stay in a corner and allow our lives to be just so-so, just on a low level. Our lives should be full of intensity, knowing that how much the Lord loves us, and we need to love him back. And then you can focus on that, and then you will begin to enjoy and experience that life. You know, sometimes we find it very difficult. We have lived a life which is going in a way which is away from God. Unless the love of Christ pulls us back, we will never be able to see how full our life, our Christian life, can be. There are many other aspects, but time does not allow me to go on. But there's one final thing which I think I must mention. Something that causes us wanting to live a full, abundant life. And that is the knowledge that we know, because we know we have this abundant life, then any circumstances that touches us should not be able to overcome that urge to go on, to move on. This is Paul's experience. You know, if you read Philippians and the Second Corinthians, you know what he has gone through. And what did he say? He said, when in poverty, he is rich; in sickness, He is in good spiritual health. In contempt, he is full of triumph. Even when he was low, his spirit was high. Even in death, he still considered it was full of glory. That is his experience. How? Because the love of Christ constrains him. Because that abundant life is something which is supreme, which is the top, and nothing can deprive him of that. Whether it's poverty, it's sickness, illness, persecution, or anything else. To him, his life is an abundant life, which will defy circumstances. It goes beyond circumstances. Circumstances can never affect our enjoyment of this abundant life. We may be in difficult circumstances, we may be persecuted. Thank God we are not today. Whatever it is, we may be having ill health, all kinds of handicaps, but all these circumstances cannot be an obstacle. Circumstances should not be a stumbling block for our enjoyment. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ has given us an abundant and a life, not only abundant life, but a supreme life, a life which is really on a high plane. That life cannot and should not be affected by circumstances. It is a life that cannot be destroyed. And that is why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Nothing can separate Paul from the love of Christ. The love of Christ constrained him, and he, because of that, he purposed and he stayed right on course to defy circumstances and continue to enjoy that full and abundant life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is Paul's conclusion. He really enjoyed throughout his service for God, his whole life. He has gone through all kinds of circumstances, and yet nothing has deterred him. He said, no one can separate. What can? Who can and what can separate us from God? No one can separate us from the love of God. And that love of God is in Jesus Christ himself. He said, neither things present nor things to come can affect it. Because we have a life which is so abundant that it triumphs over everything else. That is Paul's conclusion. So therefore, brothers and sisters, there's a lot beyond what we have at present. I don't know what stage you are in, but there's a lot beyond what we have up to now. Christ's life is abundant. And that abundance is attainable by all of us. If we stay close to God, we have to have an intimate fellowship with God, and if we have a clear focus to motivate us, the love of Christ that constrains us, then that abundant life is certainly within our reach. So don't sit down and say, well, it's enough for me to be what I am at the moment. It's enough for me just to have eternal life. I'm safe. I have assurance of that life. It's enough for the Lord to love me and guide me and protect me. What else do I want? God, the Lord's promise is he will love us, he will guide us, he will protect us because we are his children. I'm quite happy with that. No, don't stop at that. Because in the strength of God, the life of Christ that's in you can be increased. Don't stop at what you are. It can, that life of Christ, which is in us, can go on increasing and increasing from one level to another level to another level. Why? Because Christ has come to increase it. It is His promise. He said that through Paul, we said to her, we can be more than conquerors through Him who has loved you. That abundant life can lead us to the stage where we become more than conquerors. So what is my conclusion this morning? My conclusion is that if you want life, you have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because only in Him is salvation. There's no other name on earth, in heaven or on earth, that we can be must be saved. It's only Christ. If you want life, you have to go to Christ. But if you want more life, you must go to the same place. You must go to Christ again. You must not look to the Lord Jesus Christ just for the beginnings and then go somewhere else for the endings. He is the one and only one place where we can go. He is the one and only place where we can have that abundant life. And it is to Him that we can find the real enjoyment of a life which can be live to the full. He has come to give that to you, and that is what abundant life is. It is within reach of each and every one of us. Only that we need to focus our attention and our purpose on Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You because You have come not only to give us life, but to give us more abundantly. Lord, this is good news really for us, Lord. We know of the situation we are in today, Lord. We just barely know You and about this life which You have in store for us. And Lord, we just want to commit ourselves this morning once again into Your hands, Lord, that as we travel on in our path, in the days ahead, Lord, that You may be the one and only one that we worship and love, because Your love has really constrained us, that we know that nothing will separate us from You, Lord, because You loved us so much. And we need to attain and enjoy that life which You have prepared for us, because we know that it is something that is not available and something that we cannot find in this world. Lord, we pray that You continue to give us peace and give us that focus to come before You and apprehend what You have already promised to give to us. In Your most precious name we pray. Amen.